I'm surrounded with you guys. Man, that's what I felt. All year I felt surrounded by your love, you know? Surrounded by your love, your loving arms, your loving prayers, all your love, just surrounded by your love. I am so glad to be here. Whew, and you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Oh my goodness, I feel better today than I felt in 2 years. Woo, hallelujah. And I'm glad somebody else is here, my two granddaughters. I promised not to embarrass them, but oh well. Grace and Emma are here. And I invited them because this thing is generational. Do you know that, kids? It's generational. It's passed down what we have from generation to generation. And Doug, oh, he gets to have his grandkids here all the time. See that whole row over there, you guys? Those are the grandkids. Every week they're here. Can you believe that? Well, you know, he takes it for granted. I take nothing for granted anymore, you know? I mean, you get in a place where really being here or there or in the air, you just don't take it for granted. You know what I'm talking about, Chris? Yeah, right. So I'm here, and we're celebrating Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Is it possible? Is that possible? You know, everybody wants peace. Don't we want peace? You know, peace, love. And we give out the Nobel Peace Prize every year. We give the Nobel Peace Prize. We're all looking for peace. We make, you know, treaties of peace. World War II was supposed to be the war that ended all wars, you know. So man is always trying to accomplish peace in his heart. You know what I'm talking about? Like, just leave me alone. I need some peace. And you go in your room. Have you ever said that? You know, you go in your room. Judy says, she read this thing the other day where Christmas is the only time where you can go in your room and have the kids leave you alone because they think you're wrapping presents. You know, just give me a moment of peace. Everybody wants some peace. And we've sought off it for many years. And I want to introduce to you to a guy, Edward Hicks. We have a video on Edward Hicks. And Edward Hicks, he wrote or painted a painting called The Peaceable Kingdom. The Peaceable Kingdom. And maybe you've seen it before. You can lower the lights a little so we can see it better. But has anybody seen this picture of The Peaceable Kingdom? Well, it comes out of, Isaiah 11, where the lion will lay down with the lamb. It's a prophetic picture of peace. Now, William Hicks, he was born here in 1780, born in Bucks County, PA, and his mother died when he was 18 months old. So already he started out on a difficult note, and he was sent to live with a Quaker family. And as you know, Quakers are the, they're the quiet people, they don't believe in war, they're pacifist, and so he was influenced by that whole thing, and he became a Quaker coach builder. They built coaches for horses, and he painted them. And in 1813, he became a traveling Quaker minister, and to support his ministry, he started painting furniture and farm equipment, and then tavern signs. And this was looked down upon by the Quaker community as worldly. You know, they didn't like this idea of what he was doing. So he continued to do this, and in 1820, he made the first of many renditions, maybe 60 to 100 renditions of this painting right here. And there's a couple things about this painting. You know, I have my handy laser pointer here that I'm going to use. It was given to me by a very wise person. Maybe you know her. So if you'll notice up here in the left-hand corner, there's William Penn making a treaty with the Indians. Now, in some renditions, it's there, and in some renditions, it's not there. Why? Because sometimes the treaties just didn't work out how they were supposed to be. You know, and over his life, like maybe you, he became frustrated with the idea of peace ever happening. You know, peace ever coming to pass. Over here, we have a child. In some of the renditions, he has a child. And we have the bear and the lion. In some renditions, you might see, there is the one with the children playing at the hole of the asp, a deadly snake. And then up here, there's one in it where he's holding back the lion and the lamb. He's actually holding them back. So, you know, I know in our pursuit of peace, it says his paintings conveyed this Quaker belief of pacifism and inspired from the prophecy in Isaiah 11 that we're going to read soon. You know, the many paintings of this subject conveys his sense of frustration. Do you ever get frustrated? Frustrated that you haven't seen the peace that, you know, maybe you wanted to see, maybe that you believe for, even in your own family. You know, the peace that you wish would happen at work. Maybe the peace in politics that you were hoping for. You know, here, give this to Beck, would you? Yeah, he is our peace. See, man cannot bring peace about in his own, but they can have a vision like this, a vision of the lion laying down with the lamb, of things moving harmoniously together. Don't you desire that? See, we have to keep that vision really alive in our own lives. And this was the time he lived in. And he was really upset by the infighting that happened in the churches over this painting, over other things. And there was a schism in the Quaker church, and eventually, because of doctrinal things, the Quaker church actually died out. And that's what happens, you know. Men's vision can die. Let's go in the Bible over to Isaiah 11. In Isaiah 11, and what we're going to read in what we celebrate, and who is the only one, really, who can bring this peace on earth, goodwill to men. Emmanuel, God with us. See, this is part of our inheritance, like I said. You know, God has no grandchildren, folks, okay? We, each of us, has to make a decision in our own lives to follow God and to follow his plan for his life. He meant it that way because he just didn't want us to casually enter into this. He wanted to have us make a determination. You know, I was looking for peace so bad in my life, and I found Jesus. Now, I didn't want Jesus. I wanted peace, you know, peace, love. That's what I wanted. The 1960s, you know, growing up in the 60s. And I was looking for peace, you know, all those things you look for peace in, false peace. And I found Jesus. I found Jesus. I was so surprised. And you know what? God the Father knew I would love Jesus all along. He knew I would love Jesus so much that even to this day, when I talk to Jesus, when I read his word, I mean, it just melts my heart. When you come dependent on Jesus to be your healer like I have in the last year or more, I mean, it really becomes something powerful in your life. When you have to know the love of Christ that passes this knowledge, that's beyond your understanding, and you can take that love and focus it into an area like your thinking. I mean, you can sit in the presence of God, and when you're all, you know, all frustrated and all angry and all afraid, and you can focus his love right in that place. You can pinpoint like a laser the love of God right into your lungs, right into that area that might be. I mean, we have so much so much power in our lives with the love of Christ. I mean, it's beyond our limited understanding. It hardly even makes sense. See, in Isaiah 11, it talks about the only one that could fulfill this prophetic prophecy. If there shall come forth a rod or a ruler from the stem of Jesse, who's Jesse, David's father. From the stem of Jesse, the lineage of David, the king, and his dynasty was so decimated, it was so cut down, yet out of that root of Jesse sprung Jesus. Oh man, my life was cut down to the nub, folks. And out of that life that was cut down flowed that stem of Jesse. That only one, the only one that could bring healing to my life and forgive my sins, and bring health to my body. He is the only one. It says, the Spirit of the Lord, it says, and a branch shall grow out of his root. A branch shall grow out of this root. He is that branch. He is that glorious branch, that one. And Isaiah 4:2 says, in that day, the branch shall be beautiful. Whew. What started out so small in my life as a confession of faith, July 17th, 1979, has just blossomed and become beautiful. He has made my life beautiful, beautiful and glorious. A glorious life. He is the glorious one. When we look on the glorious one, we cannot help but to reflect his glory. His glory. His glory just, I'm just way too happy for most people. Like I said. And I get happier and happier. Sillier and sillier. It can be irritating, trust me. It really can. You just want to have a bad day, don't you? And I'm there. Telling you everything's going to be all right. And you say, just leave me alone. I want to have a bad day. I won't let you have a bad day. I won't. I can't. You can't waste a bad day. You can't waste a day, really, by making it bad. Oh, he surrounds us with his love. When we think we're surrounded by negativity and frustration, he surrounds us with his love. We're surrounded. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Upon Jesus. What? The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He shall be called what? Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of what? Peace. Prince of Peace. He is the only one. It's our inheritance. He said, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. He's transferring that peace. And that's my obligation as a person of God, as a son of God, as a child of God, is to transfer that peace to the next generation. See, they have to have hope. And they can't hope in the world and in what they see all around them in the conditions of world. But we have a peace that passes all understanding. I think I said that about 3 times already. Are you getting it? Peace, 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 be still. Oh, peace. Oh, my soul. We have this peace. Oh, and it says in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Oh, isn't this peace glorious when everything's coming apart? Whew. I got that 3 o'clock call in the morning a couple days ago. 3 in the morning, phone rings. What does that mean? You got kids. 3 in the morning. Anybody ever had those? Phew, yes, Midge got them. Yeah, Judy got them. So what do you think immediately? So Judy's talking on the phone. Where? Yeah. I immediately go in the living room and I sit down on the couch. Oh, Lord. So you got to move into that place. Move out of anxiety and into peace. And you can do it in your own living room. You don't have to be in church. See, there is a peace available to us in all the situations, all the stuff we go through. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, and the wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might. You need a good counselor? Don't call me. I'll give you about 3 times, and I'll say, get over it. What's your advice to me, Pastor? Get over it. Get over it. Say it with me. Get over it. But he's the wonderful counselor. Oh, he'll just love you through it. He'll just love, take you to his word, you know, give you the word during it, love you, counsel you in places I can't, when you're crying in the night, when you're any place you are, he's right there. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He's right there with you. Oh my goodness, you're going to need it. I'm telling you, you're going to need it. Things are coming this year. It's going to be a great year. But things are coming that we don't even see, that we don't know about. And think of all the stuff that happened last year. Whoa, that was crazy. You know, we lived. Hallelujah. You know, we lived, but not everybody did. Now, I pray there with Jesus. But I'm telling you, there's going to be some tough times. Don't you think, Ron? Oh, it looks crazy out there. I got to turn it off. You know, I don't want to get into that craziness. That's all I'll be speaking. Hey, how about that, shutdown? Oh, my gosh. What if they shut down Social Security? Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. Right now, it's not affecting me too much. I can be really cool, you know. But they shut down Social Security or something. Whew, how many live paycheck to paycheck? Don't answer that question. Woo. Oh, my gosh. We're going to look at some stuff. We're going to need that peace. You know that? We're going to need it. Oh, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So this holy awe of God and how he works stuff out. That's what we want. We can testify of the how big God is and how he works stuff out. You know, how we never, well, this is impossible. It can never happen. Oh my gosh, you know, we're going to be homeless the rest of our lives. Oh, and there's the house. What? I'll never own a car. There's the car, you know. All this stuff, you know, all this stuff that, oh my goodness, that God wants to do for us. If we'll just rest, if we'll just praise him, if we fight our battles, you know. Oh my goodness, it's wonderful. And his delight is in the fear of the Lord, or to stand in awe. That's what we do when we worship. You think worship is, why do they sing those songs over and over again like that? This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. Corporate worship. Man, that's where we win this thing. I'm telling you, we win this thing. In corporate worship. Thank you, team, for leading us all these years in corporate worship. Oh my, there's a special place in heaven for you. I think. If you get there and don't tell them I told you so, okay? There's a special place in heaven for worship leaders. It's right next to the pastors. Woo. Wow. It says, and he shall not, this is wonderful. Okay, listen to this, deep. And he shall not judge by the seeing of his eyes. I mean, he's better than Santa Claus. Santa Claus sees while you're sleeping. Santa Claus sees if you're no, I'm good or bad. So be good, for goodness sake, you know. But, I mean, he does not judge by seeing what you're doing. Not you, I'm sorry. You're not doing anything wrong. But Ken, he does not see by what you're doing. It's covered. He sees you in Christ. Oh, my gosh. That's incredible. You cannot hide from God. You do not want to hide from God. Because he sees you as glorious. He sees you as the best idea he ever had. You are the best idea God ever had. Oh my gosh, there's nobody like you. And he's crazy about you. Oh my goodness. He sees you. He does not judge by the seeing of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. It's so contrary to us. We judge everything by what we see on TV. Whether it be CNN or Fox or whatever it is, you know what we make a judgment. Yep. Mm-hmm. Come on. I'm telling the truth, all right? We make a judgment. Or what we hear. Did you hear that? Are you sure you're hearing right? We can't even be sure we're seeing or hearing right. I mean, did a man really land on the moon? Is the earth really flat? Or round? I don't know, you know. Oh, my goodness. There's so much out there. We need a rock. We need peace. We need something that's solid. We need to find our, I mean, it's so, everything is changing so rapidly. Oh my goodness, you know? Hey Google, what's the weather gonna be? Or you might have Siri, you know? Hey Siri, what's the, you know? I mean, can we really trust all that? I wanna know. I don't wanna parrot what everybody else is saying. I wanna hear what God's saying. And then I can stand before people and tell them what he's saying. God's saying he is our peace. God is saying, it's not about circumstances. He is our peace. Israel's in a tough place, you know, again. And he's bringing, they want peace. And he says, peace is coming. A peacemaker is coming. Oh, but with the righteous, he shall judge the poor and decide with equity the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his word. His word goes right into our hearts. The day after I was saved, they gave me a Bible, you know, a little paperback Bible. I might have told you this story. July 17th, 1979, you know, and that next day, 7:30 in the evening was, and the next day, woke up in the morning, I put that Bible on a table. I know the exact table, I don't have it anymore. I laid it up, opened that Bible, and I read John 3:16 and went like this, boom, right into my heart. I couldn't believe it. It went by my head. See, we have to start believing with our hearts instead of our head, in our eyes, in our ears. We have to start believing with our hearts and believing what God says about us and how much he loves us and quit judging by the seeing of our eyes and the hearing of our ears. We have to understand with our hearts. With our hearts. That's where our understanding has to be. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. Not judgment, but love. I'm telling you, it's love. It's love that he is going to release like we've never, above and beyond what we can even ask or think. He's going to release us in this hour. And with the breath of his lips, he shall slay the wicked. Oh my gosh. They'll just be, I know exactly how they feel. When they feel the love of God. Oh, and when you feel the breath of God. Oh, I mean, how many have ever been slain in the spirit? Yep, it's a real thing, folks. Whew. Slain in the spirit. Oh my gosh. I was at one of those guys, and he was coming down. More. Before he got to me, I went out. Bam, ask Drew, he was there with me, my son. Bam, on the ground, on my back. The power of the Holy Spirit. The breath of God. Wow. Oh, I'm so excited. This is how we fight our battles, folks. Whew. And every, oh my gosh, I lost my place. There we go. Oh. And righteousness shall be the belt of his loins. That's how John saw him in the book of Revelation. With that, I saw the Lord. He said, I saw the Lord. And around his waist was this belt. And his eyes were as eyes of fire. And his hair was white as wool, you know. Arr, God, you know, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Whew, that's our God. Oh, he's no wimpy God. I'm telling you right now. And it says, and his face and faithfulness, the belt of his weight. And here, now comes the prophecy, and the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. This is the result of the fulfillment of the new covenant. You say, well, it's not happening yet. No, we're part of it. We're part of it. See, just the fact that some of us are worshiping in the same room together is a part of what the new covenant brings together. See, the new covenant brings harmony and people together, men and women, black and white, Asian. Oh, my goodness. That's what it does. It brings us in unity together. The wolf shall lay down with the lamb. The leopard shall lay down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And the little child shall lead them. You need to get this, you guys. This is your inheritance. You need to be the peacemakers. You need to transfer this peace, you know? You need to be the ones that have this hope in your heart, hope beyond hope. We're going to look at that scripture, hope when it looks like everything is hopeless. Oh, it'll never happen. You need to have that hope in your heart because you've experienced it. I've experienced that hope. I've experienced that miracle. I've experienced that love. I've seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! Let me catch my breath. I'm telling you, this is exciting. I would have been dead without this. Dead. No hope. Frustrated, angry. I've had my days. I'm telling you, I've had my days. Oh, my gosh, but you were there. You were there. Kathy, you were there. Yes. Doug, you were there. Ken, you were there. Oh, my gosh, you were all there. You were all there. Suzanne, you were there. You were surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses who were there to fight the battle with me. To fight that battle with me. Thank you for being there with me to fight the battle. Thank you, God, for bringing it all together in this new covenant. And I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. That's what it's saying. The best is yet to come. It says, the cow and the bear shall graze. The young lions with will lay down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play at the cobra's hole. No fear, no danger. Creation coming together. You know, we even have a pamphlet on it out in the foyer that we wrote about how creation is coming together. Creation will come together. Well, I don't know. Do you see all that pollution out there? We got a plan. I'm telling you, man, God has given man enough sense, the spirit of wisdom and understanding to clean this place up. I'm confident. Young people. See, young people, cleaning up the oceans. See, I'm not a doomsdayer, folks. I have hope. I live in hope. I have to live in hope. I have to give the next generation hope. There's the best is yet to come, girls. I'm telling you. And I want to transfer this thing. I want you to see how excited I am about it. You know? I mean, that's what. I'm so glad you're here. And they shall not nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Oh, my gosh. See, when we see everything is holy, when we see everything is holy, I know it's, but you don't see with the seeing of your eyes. You see with your heart. That's how you have to see. You have to, you know, kind of see with your heart, not kind of, you have to hear. I mean, I can find good things in secular music. Do you know that? I mean, I'm sorry. I listen to secular music. I'm sorry. You know, I like Pitbull. I mean, every day above ground is a good day. That's what he sings in the songs. Become Judy and I's favorite song. You know, I'm sorry. Don't judge me. You know, but I mean, we're having so much fun listening to that song. It's really, it's kind of amazing, the words to this song and how there's a generation that is so hungry for peace, so hungry for God that they just don't even know it, folks. I didn't know it. Like I said, I was looking for peace, but I found Jesus. I was not looking for Jesus. I didn't go to most places looking for Jesus. I was looking for peace. And Jesus kept showing up, even in the midst of the places I was going to. Amazing. I went all the way to Europe, okay? Vondel Park in Amsterdam, and Jesus shows up. I mean, I was just there to smoke some pot, you know? And Jesus shows up. Now, what are you doing here? There's some Jesus people there, you know? You cannot keep Jesus away from you. He loved you so much. I'm telling you, he loved you so much. Jesus will come to you and just give you peace and joy. And you go, what's this? Why am I feeling so happy? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Happier than you've ever been. Where were we? And it says, listen to this. For the earth, I tell you, the best is yet to come, shall be full. The earth shall be full with the knowledge of the Lord. I'm talking about the right understanding of the Lord. The world is full of the wrong understanding of God that we have given to them. He wants to judge you. He's mad at you. He's frustrated with you. He wants to damn you to hell. We've given them the wrong information, and they have no understanding of God. We have narrowed God down into our own idolatry image of our own soulish thinking. When he loves you, he loves you, he loves you. I've told you that many times. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. The earth is going. This is what's going to change the earth, folks. not a limited understanding, not a limited little understanding of us four and no more, us and them, but an understanding that he loves us all while we are yet sinners and he has not changed his mind. Whew! That's the good news. That is the good news, man. That is not the false news. Sometimes we give people the false news. You know that? We really do. We give them the false news. And the earth shall be full. Say, shall be full. Full. What? Of the knowledge of the Lord. As what? We will be immersed in the love of God. That will change everything. When you are immersed in the love of God, I have had days when I've gone out and I have loved at such a level, it surprises me. You know? Wow. You will not see color. You will not see shape or size. You will not see male or female. You will not see nationality. You will only see God's created glory. Whew. Oh man, that's what heaven's gonna be like, folks. Oh, the glory of the Lord as the water covers the sea. That's what we're looking for. Oh, the best is yet to come. Full with an intimate understanding, not religious fullness, but eternal fullness of love. Oh, just imagine it. That's what everlasting life is, and it begins right here. When we can begin to see that way. What makes you so miserable? When you don't like the other guy? You don't like how he looks, how he talks? What makes you miserable? What robs your peace? I thank you for social media. It shows where everybody's at. You know, it really does. What's bothering them? Okay, let's end. Let's end in Revelation. How am I doing, Ron? I think I'm too slow. I better hurry up. Revelation. No, let's go in Romans. We're going to Romans. Romans. Okay. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. As a father type person, this is really my responsibility to share this inheritance with you, of the confidence and the peace that I have in God, just like Father Abraham. It says, in the presence of him who believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things that exist as though they did. Or calls those things that do not exist as that they did. Well, I haven't seen that peace yet. We're calling it into place. Peace, peace. Shalom, shalom. That's a greeting, in a Jewish greeting. Peace, peace. Peace to you. Peace to you, my brother. You know what that's saying? Health, healing, happiness, security to you. Peace, peace. We're purveyors of peace. We're purveyors of peace. We call things that be not as though they were. That is faith. That's not foolishness. It's faith. I am healed by the blood of Jesus. That's not foolishness. It's faith. I've taken some personal responsibility toward that end. But it's God who ultimately will heal me. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so all your descendants shall be. See, this is a generational thing. If you carry that peace, you can pass it on. If you carry that hope in your heart, you can carry it to high school. If you carry that hope in your heart, you can carry it to college. If you carry that hope in your heart, you can carry it to work. You can be a voice of hope in the place of hopelessness. You can carry it to your family gathering. You can carry it to your relationships. You can carry it to the grocery store, for crying out loud. And leave it there and convey that peace to people. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. See? You can do this, Doug. Old folks can do this too. Old folks can do this too. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened by faith. Oh, I hope you're getting faith this morning for this. Are you getting faith this morning for this? Oh, I know some of you are going out. Some of you are going out on different things. You're going to have to carry this with you. You know, you just can't. You just cannot go out without it. Don't leave home without this. I'm telling you. It says, through faith, through unbelief, it was strengthened by faith. Faith, what? Giving glory to God. That's exactly what we did this morning. We gave glory to God, and what happened, Doug? Our faith was strengthened. Our faith was strengthened. Worship brings faith. I don't care where you're at, in your living room, in your car, worship brings that strength that we need. God knew that. And being fully convinced or fully persuaded, we need a church that is fully persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And then Paul says what? Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, all these things he gives, you know. That's what we need to preach. Not that sin separates you from God. Well, wait a minute. He loved me while I was yet a sinner. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, you know. I sin every day, you know. Am I separated from God? Then back with God, separate with God. I mean, it's not schizophrenia, folks. I mean, it's something solid. It's faith. He said he would never leave us or forsake us. Either I'm in or out. I'm not in and out, in and out, in and out. And that's what we've made a church. It's in and out, in and out, in and out. We're in. I'm telling you, his grace is so goodness. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Sin will never overtake grace. Never. Oh, there you go, grace preaching. Oh, boy. Dangerous. Dangerous. And being fully convinced. I am fully persuaded. At 73 years old, I had to get fully persuaded about something. I know who I'm supposed to be married to. Okay? I know what city I'm supposed to be living in. And I know what God I serve. And he loves me. He loves me. He loves me even when I'm inconsistent. Because he is consistent. He is faithful. It's right around his waist. He is righteous. It's right around his waist. Oh, my goodness. Whew. And being fully convinced that he had promised and he was able to perform this. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him, but for us also. All of us. Some people just don't know it yet. I didn't know it was for me. I didn't know it yet. But when I found out, I was shocked. I was shocked that it was for me also. The people you tell about this will be shocked that it's for them also. But it was for us also, and it shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised Jesus up, our Lord from the dead, who delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, what do we have? We have peace. There it is. We have peace. We have peace. Now we're going to have peace. Not peace is yet to come. Yeah, we're in a transitional place where it's not fully visible yet, but we have peace. I'm losing the kids. Am I losing you guys? You guys have peace. Do you know that? Oh, you're looking in your Bible. Wow. We have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Wow. This is good news, folks. This is good news. I mean, we don't just have laser wands, okay? I mean, we do have laser wands. You know, and we can impart peace through the laser wand. Peace be still, peace be still. See, I am getting silly. Do this to your brother, he'll love it. You know, oh my, you guys didn't bring your laser wands? We all got them last week. Oh, I can't turn it off. There it is. We have peace with God. Oh, Judy brought hers. Wow, peace with God. We have peace with God. Oh, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Now I'm going to play a video, okay? And it's going to give you an invitation for the coming year. And we proclaimed it, when hope against all hope, the year of peace. Sandy, under her leadership, she said, we're gonna have this be the year of peace. That's crazy. You know what I'm talking about? That's crazy. What was last year? You know what I mean? What could this year? At least it's not an election year. You know? But I mean, we don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to declare it's a year of peace. Peace in our life. And it's going to take a commitment from you. I mean, I can lay it out for you. I can be an example of it, you know. You can help me, I can help you, but we're going to have to make a commitment.